thing to do too. Her daughter says she'll be dead with you. While Farrakh prefers a screwing rotten, light morale has hit rock bottom. Dying embers stand forgotten. Talks of peace run.
Second hour, Off the Beaten Path, Steve Elkins here. We got a special guest here, live from, I'm going to say North California here. I don't want to give actual direction to where our guest is. We just call him Captain Phil. He's a great guy. I met him, I'm going to say about 2 years ago at an Eagle Forum meeting. A guy that was eager to stand up in the back and voice his opinions, and I always loved it about this guy, Captain Phil. Welcome to Off the Beaten Path, Captain Phil.
Hey, Steve, you are off the beaten path all the way across the country from where I saw you last.
Yeah, I warned you guys I was going to finally leave California. I got enough of the sanctuary state there. How you doing holding up in the sanctuary state?
Well, it's not only a sanctuary state, it's a state that's trying to drive the Second Amendment out of existence.
Yep, it is. And I found that out. And let me go back a little bit here. I think I told you, I thought the only way I could comment on a Second Amendment issue and these gun rights issues is if I actually experienced going to one of these gun shows. They have a huge gun show out here. They actually have them all over the state. I guess they have them in California. I have never been to one, but I told my wife, before I could comment on something, I have to, first of all, go to one of these events and walk around and interview. And I had a blast out here in Central Florida last Saturday. I went to a gun show, and let me just give you a little bit of my headway here, what I found. Probably I'd say 400 people attended this show. Average age was probably 62 years of age. The youngest I saw was probably 8 years of age. There was a serious, what they call the gray force. When I talked to a lot of these elderly people, they're the gray force, and they are very strong. Headstrong on their Second Amendment rights, and I don't blame them one bit. I'm glad they're there. I worry in the future about this snowflake generation that is easy to erase our history, and they're tearing down our statues, and they're determining what we can say and what we can't say. So I actually had a conversation this morning with a gun shop owner and a range owner out here in Central Florida who made some really good comments and gave me some great information, basically saying that if our First Amendment rights fall, our Second Amendment rights will surely fall right after. And I agree with that 100%. And this snowflake population of children out there that want everything sanitized for their ears and everything offends them are a worrisome bunch for you and I as legal gun owners and citizens. But I want to give a little bio back on here on Mr. Phil, Captain Phil. We will not use last names, but, you know, Phil, when you sent this over to me, I'm going to play little Larry King here on you with my suspenders, but quite a resume. And not only was it military and training arms and special weapons and things like that in the military, which I guess I should clarify, Captain Phil was never make captain in the military. Not that he wasn't qualified. He did not make captain. He was a commissioned officer. But your resume is quite interesting. A delivery skipper, charter boat operator in the Caribbean. Sounds like Captain Ron here. And as well as running sea experience and sail training programs on San Francisco Bay, the North Baltic, and the Mediterranean. I got interested. You also said you got interested in riding horseback, but doing the quick draw, which I know people who do the quick draw thing. And that's kind of interesting. I'm not into that. More into skeet shooting and target shooting. But in the military, you served as a paratrooper with the 82nd Airborne Division, a platoon armor and barman. I'm not sure what a barman is, Captain Phil. What's a barman?
It's BAR. It stands for Browning Automatic Rifle.
Okay.
It weighs 19.5 pounds empty, and after a 10-mile hike, the decimal point drops out.
Okay. It says here, you were the last man known to have jumped a bar, a sling arms out of a C-130 aircraft, which I worked on, by the way, on a night drop over Sicily drop zone, a training drop zone, not Sicily, Italy, but I'm old, but not that old. Okay, reading everything here verbatim, I shouldn't. Your military service experts in World War II military weapons. And later on, you said, became a commissioned officer. And later on, eventually, this is what I got my attention here. I got back into shooting and conservative politics. That's where I am, especially relative to the Second Amendment, and developed a course of instruction that was considerably different from what was being taught at the time. You said, frankly, the NRA would collectively faint if they knew that I teach in my basic one-day course, which isn't all that basic, though we do cover the essentials of safety and familiarization with the three types of handgun. You know, the reason I want to discuss this, talk about this issue here of the Second Amendment is because of this snowflake generation, Captain Phil, and that I do believe at some point in time, if they are not stopped, our Second Amendment rights will fall aside as far as our second, our First Amendment rights, also freedom of speech, will also disappear. We will give ownership basically to a government to say, take care of us, kind of a slave owner type relationship. Going back to my gun show I went to, I was blown away. All in all, I'd have to say it was a class act. It was up and up. There was an ATF inspector there. Everything was pretty much safety was the general theme. These guns were zip tied. There were not going to be any accidents. They were very serious about safety at these gun shows. The only thing I did find interesting, there were some classes going on, some teaching going on, and there was an instructor who acted very similar to the characteristics of Barney Fife. And I stepped into a zone, and he let me know right away, I stepped into a zone, and you're not part of this class. You need to step out of the zone, which I did. But I sat back and listened to him, and he was very serious about protecting his Second Amendment rights. And basically, he made the characterization that your weapon would be similar to a fire extinguisher to a fireman, and that it puts out a fire. The weapon itself will save your life. And I do have to agree with that, whether he was being kind of an arse. I guess I can say arse. Can I say arse on air? Yes, I can.
You can. It's your show.
Yeah, I guess I can say arse. That's the polite way of saying it. But, you know, we have some new gun legislation coming out here pretty soon about crossing state lines. Did you see that, Captain Phil?
Yes, I did. I wanted to comment on the fellow saying, I agree with him that the gun is a tool. There's a saying, I am the weapon. The gun is only a tool.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So have you ever attended any of these gun shows out there?
Oh, yeah. Participated in many. Yeah, sure. We have lots of them in California. 400 is not a particularly large assemblage out here. We will have several thousand people at a gun show.
Wow.
And I tend to agree with you. The average age is older. The younger generation seems to be less interested in the sport, although there are some up-and-coming young folk. And one happy note I'll pass on to you. I had a couple ladies in one of my classes, and we do the basics in the morning pretty much. We cover single-action revolver, double-action revolver, semi-automatic pistol. I do a little bit of work with a rifle so that I can tell if they got the message when I talked about sight picture and sight alignment. You can't really tell with a handgun. They're too wobbly. But with a rifle, you can tell right away if they got the message. And then in the afternoon, we move on to shooting reaction targets. And by the end of the day, I have them shooting while moving one-handed. Today it's quite popular to shoot two-handed. It's a very good way to shoot, but you really need to know how to shoot one-handed too. So I build a lot of stuff into that basic course. But at noon, we have a kind of a sit-down and question and answer. And it's sort of a working lunch. Mm-hmm. It's all outdoors. And I had a couple of ladies in my class, and they said, well, we've never met anyone like you. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you're very conservative. All of our friends are liberal. I said, oh, really? She said, yes, we're members of the Green Party. I said, really? What am I doing teaching a couple of greenies how to shoot? And they said, well, we're married now, and we have children, And we've disliked guns all of our lives, but we live in the country, and it occurred to us that we don't have any way to protect our kids.
Right.
Welcome to reality.
Exactly. You know, one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this issue, because, you know, Phil, we can talk about this on this network here. Our listeners are well aware of false flag events, and we've seen false flags carried out with a political motive or an agenda, legislative agenda. And living close enough to the Orlando area here, of course, we had a nightclub that was a gay nightclub, I guess, that was attacked about a year ago or so. I think they just came up on their first year anniversary. And every time we see these mass shootings, whether they be legit of one lone gunman, the lone wolf, which I don't believe the majority of time to be, especially the Las Vegas shooting. There were several shooters in that, but they're not allowed to tell you that in mainstream media. It's just one shooter, one lone guy. It's always one guy that can plan all this great stuff out and carry it out with success, and we know that's not true. It takes a lot of people to carry off these missions, just like it does a military operation, and I can only assume that's probably what it was. It was a false flag military, but it was a false flag. So the reason I wanted to talk about this issue here is that with every mass shooting we get, we have politicians running and screaming, legislation, gun legislation, we need more restrictions, we need more things in place to make sure this doesn't happen. Of course, those regulations, those restrictions, basically just gnaw away at the Second Amendment, your right as a legal gun owner to have a weapon to protect yourself. Now, I'm finding out right now, Phil, that moving from California down here to Florida, when I went in, did a little interviewing at a couple gun stores, I had one guy just said, well, welcome to paradise is what he said to me. Leaving California, you left the state with the most regulations and gun restriction laws on the books. Welcome to paradise.
Well, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, welcome to paradise. So,
by the way, isn't it interesting that every time one of these events happens, whether it's a real event or a staged event, the first thing the politicians think about is taking the guns away from everyone who didn't do it.
Right. They generalize quite well, which I pointed out the hypocrisy of Chuck Schumer. He wanted new gun legislation, restrictions on weapons. And then it had a caption. It showed a picture of him at a shooting range practicing with his revolver. Quite amazing.
Yeah. You know, you probably remember the Columbine shooting. That kind of seems to be the place where this all started.
I do.
And right after that, I wrote a short monograph titled "We Need More Guns in Schools." It got published in a few papers around locally,
right.
And we expected a big firestorm of resistance. But no one really argued that it was pretty well researched. I guess I don't know, but anyway, the politicians every time cynically and hysterically rush out to exploit these shootings, and you have to wonder, you know, is Columbine and the others a tragedy of bad kids and guns, or bad education, bad public morality, bad laws? You know, we used to have fewer teachers, we had more guns, less crime. We had self-esteem, which is earned, not false esteem, which is merely assumed or granted. We respected people and property. Most of us grew up in households with more guns than people, rifles, pistols, shotguns, 22s. With all that armament, why was there not a continuous bloodbath then? With
right.
fewer guns per capita today, why is the problem greater? And you've outlined some of the reasons.
Yeah. Well, you know, even the Old West, how many people carried a sidearm in the Old West? You know, we see TV in the Western movies telling us there were shootouts all the time in the town center there, which was not the truth. There was always that potential to rise up and defend yourself, and therefore it was pretty unlikely somebody was going to shoot you down because you had weaponry also. And so Hollywood has really done a number on believing that people walking around, people who have weapons, who have concealed weapons, are a threat to the general public safety. And we know that's not true. That's typical Hollywood stuff. And actually, go ahead.
If weapons were the problem, I guess chefs and housewives would be the most dangerous people in the world. They're surrounded by sharp knives all the time.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, you got to restrict those now, the steak knives. And you know, we lost another a Clinton witness who fell on a steak knife a couple of times ago, evidently on a beach somewhere. I saw that in the news a couple of days ago, and I think that's even on the RBN website. But
what's the body count up to now? 120 or something?
Yeah, I don't even know. I actually pulled it off the internet. I'll have to go back on and see what it is now. I mean, I don't know if you heard earlier. I gave my little prophecy of what the future will say, and Hillary Clinton will walk scot-free. This woman will never be charged. All the people are dying around her that could testify against her, and the evidence has been eliminated, destroyed. This we talk about John Gotti being the Teflon Don. This woman, this crime family, she will not serve a day. Nothing's going to happen. Sad.
Yeah, we've been had. I often think we really are living in the Matrix or some semblance, some caricature of what we're supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in my interview of one of the gun owners had a shop out here in Central Florida, I did find out some interesting things I did not know. It's probably national that if I present a DD-214 and I have no mental illness, but I present a DD-214, I can get an automatic concealed weapon permit on the spot if I have a DD-214 and I don't have anything in my records.
That can't be quite accurate, Steve. You could probably buy a semi-automatic handgun or rifle. But a fully automatic rifle, which is basically a machine gun, is controlled under federal rules, and the states can't preempt that.
I agree with that. I was referring to semi-automatic.
Yeah, okay.
Or a pistol, yes. But no, an automatic weapon, that's definitely federal. Lots of regulation on that one. And, you know, people who keep thinking that the Second Amendment is about basically hunting and target shooting don't have quite the clue. And this is the snowflake population. They don't understand why we have Second Amendment rights and to be able to defend ourselves from a government that could become a tyrannical government. And it's basically a sense of an equal firepower against an equal government, a firepower. Not that we ever want to take on the government. And I'm not condoning that and saying that's what I would want. No way would I ever want to see that happen. But the point is, an unarmed population could be victimized by a government, a tyrannical government. Would you agree with that, Bill?
Oh, I think that's absolutely true. I sometimes wonder today, with the technology that the government has, just how effective our rather primitive weapons would be. But I think there's a lot more to it than that. For instance, I rather suspect that if there was a major government push against the civilian population, a significant portion of the troops themselves would turn to support the civilians. It's a complicated set of issues, but there are Star Wars type weaponry out there that virtually make what we're dealing with obsolete. On the other hand, if you think that a poorly armed population can't do much, look at Vietnam.
Right. I agree. Now, I agree with your, I'm hoping, but I'm also, my fingers are crossed on the troops and law enforcement in an issue like this, that they would stand up for the Constitution. We'll be right back. We're on the phone with Captain Phil in Northern California. You're listening to Off the Beaten Path.
Do I take you by the hand and lead you through the land? Stand the best I can.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Lights sing, I'm moving in stereo. Light sing, it's all inside you.
This is Off the Beaten Path. I'm your host, Steve Elkins, and we're on the fun with Captain Phil in California here. Phil, I agree with you. I hope our law enforcement and our troops will support the Constitution, but I sent you a video over a couple of days ago, which got a lot of people shaken up. It got me shaken up, of a law officer that assassinated. I'm going to say assassinate because that's exactly what it was. I sent you that video clip over of a young man told to crawl on the floor, and he was given instruction, and evidently, because he was drunk, didn't cross his legs good enough, didn't do something. He was crawling on the floor, and he was executed, shot five times, dead, and the officer was acquitted. I am worried about that kind of police officer, as the organization backed him, the Fraternal Order of Police backed him in his theory of he could have been threatened, he felt threatened, therefore he should use deadly force. And I think you and I both agree, watching that video, he could have cuffed this young man at any time. If he wanted to tase him, he could have tased him. This gentleman, this man, was not a threat to the officer's safety. This was a clear abuse of power. But the organization that backed him and allowed him to pursue on with his career as a law enforcement agent, It's shocking. It's shocking that the behavior was condoned, and he was given a free ticket, free ride.
Well, I looked at that, Steve, and what I saw was a coward, a bully, and a murderer. Yeah. How he got off is beyond my comprehension. Guys like that do not belong in military or law enforcement. They belong in jail. I got a call to action to maybe join up with Sheriff Richard Mack's organization or your organization or we have to somehow pull together and prevent this sort of thing from even having a possibility of happening. Now the cops in general are scared to death of somebody who might possibly have a gun. It didn't used to be quite that way. There's an old story about a town that had a riot in Texas. They sent for the Rangers, and a Texas Ranger showed up, and they said, the mayor said, just one of you, just one Ranger. The Ranger said, well, you only got one riot, don't you?
Right.
So, yeah. But we don't have that kind of attitude anymore. Let me make a little shift in direction here, Steve.
Sure.
One of the things I found is, like religion, it's very difficult to have a political conversation with somebody. People have their attitudes and their ideas, and they stick to them with great emotional vigor. And we're the same way, I'm sure, to them. So how do you have a conversation? And I've developed a couple of conversations that seem to be non-threatening but instructive and have opened up a few eyes. Sometimes on the gun control issue, for instance, which is what you kind of wanted me to talk about. I don't think I ever told you about Plan A, Plan B, did I?
No, you did not.
And if I did, I certainly haven't told your audience. So.
No, go ahead. Go ahead and tell us.
Well, every time there's some kind of a shooting or a problem, the government says, taking away the guns is the answer. They operate on feelings, and they've got an obsessive desire to control. They're convinced of their moral and intellectual superiority, and they'd rather control guns than criminals, it seems like. They're not interested in factual evidence or historical evidence. But you can question the wisdom of the all-powerful state, and Plan A, Plan B is the way I do that with people. Plan B is what big government, so-called liberals and the
Phil, I'm going to ask you. Phil, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought for a second. We've got a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
All right.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Baton Path. I'm on the phone with Captain Phil in Northern California. And you're about ready to tell us before that commercial break about Plan A, Plan B. Go ahead and finish that up, Phil.
Okay, so the question is, how do we protect our precious lambs, our innocent lambs? Plan B is what the big government and the liberals and socialist academics have been pushing for years. They want strict gun control laws. And Plan B obviously hasn't worked. But with respect to schools and daycare centers, Plan B says, let's take our innocent lambs and put them in a readily identifiable corral. Let's put them in charge of some shepherds, and then they'll strictly and publicly disarm the shepherds. The wolves know where the lambs are, and they know that the shepherds have no weapons. That's Plan B. That's what the government says we need more of. Plan A is what we had for about the first 150, 200 years of our republic. Let's get back to common sense. Let's let honest citizens have whatever weapons they want, carried openly or concealed. Let's make laws against criminal activity with or without guns, but not against the mere possession of firearms, and don't impede the people's right of self-defense. Arm whatever teachers are willing to be trained and armed. Under Plan A, the wolves still know where the lambs are. They still know how to reach them. And they know that some of the shepherds and some of the lambs' parents are armed and dangerous, and they never know who. Which plan do you prefer to protect your precious lambs?
Right. Got it. I understand. You know, Phil, when I saw that video, now there's been active legislation to look at and examine our returning vets from Iraq and Afghanistan to all classify them as having post-traumatic stress disorder because they've been in combat. And in saying that, in labeling them having PTSD, basically saying that you're probably not trustworthy to have a license to carry a weapon. Well, this is one of those situations, you know, it sounds like the UCMJ where you're guilty and you have to prove your innocence. But then I saw that video and I started wondering, well, is this guy here, this officer that got off scot-free for assassinating this young man, was he a returning vet? Is he one of those killers in the field that couldn't turn the switch off? And I worry when I look around, before I left California there, I noticed it 2 years prior to leaving, that our local police was becoming militarized, which is very, very scary to think about. A militarized local police, if you have the perfect storm, an economic collapse, you have a terrorist attack, you have martial law rolled out, guess what? Your Second Amendment rights are gone. And that's something I've really seriously looked at hard to say, what direction are we going in? So I have a question for you, Phil, is that how important is the NRA in this fight to keep our Second Amendment rights alive?
Well, I think the NRA is very important. I'm a life member. I don't always agree with the way they approach things. They ignore some of the other organizations, although I've noticed lately they tend to be more cooperative than they used to be. There's a Second Amendment Society up in Bellevue, Washington, and if it wasn't for the Second Amendment group headed by Alan Gottlieb, the favorable decision coming out of D.C. would never have occurred, because the NRA was dragging their feet and actually fighting against it until they finally saw that, you know, there was no hope. They had to sign on for it. And when it was won, they claimed that they had won it all. So I kind of resent that. Nonetheless, I do believe that they are the largest and most powerful organization. Whether or not they're the most effective on all issues, I'm not so sure. There's Gun Owners of America, Gun Owners of California, Second Amendment Society, as I mentioned, Firearms Policy Coalition in California, a lot of state organizations that work very hard and are successful. But overall, I would say the NRA is still the big dog in the equation. And I think we need to support them.
Yeah, got it. Writing a little message here to my board op here. I did find out something interesting in the gun show, that they're the private sellers. Evidently, they are able to go outside the law, not have FFL licenses, and they actually have more of a business going. But the gun shop owner I did talk to today, and who owned a range, We both agreed that criminals are not going to gun shows to buy high-end weapons. There were no weapons there that were so cheap that you could walk in and say, wow, that was cheap. I'll buy one of these. I'll buy one of those. The weapons were kind of pricey. I'm not sure as far as retail going with a regular gun store versus a gun show, if it's cheaper, much cheaper, or the same, or whatever. But we agreed that criminals are not buying weapons from gun shows and not buying them from legitimate dealers who hold FFL licenses. They're buying theirs from another different channel, another black market, whatever it be. But, the private seller was avoiding the law of, actually, you're supposed to have an FFL license if you're selling weapons. And I think they try to get around it by saying, these are my personal private collection and selling, but they go from gun show to gun show. But what's interesting was that he mentioned that they're doing this nothing's being done about it. Nothing's been said about it. There's no enforcement of the law on the books saying you have to have an FFL license to sell. Nobody's doing anything about that. So they're turning their backs on this one regulation, this law here. But these are cash purchases, the guy mentioned. They're cash purchases, and they don't have to fill out government paperwork for tracking.
Let me express some surprise at your position on this one, Steve. If you were a collector of knives, let's say, which are dangerous weapons potentially, do you think you should have to have a license to sell one to your neighbor or your friend?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this was the regulation. The guy said this was a loophole, he pointed out. And he said,
it's not really a loophole. It's not really. You're a private individual selling something that you own. And as a matter of fact, the sale of weapons through dealers even probably shouldn't be regulated for the simple reason that that is an infringement on the Second Amendment. That's an infringement on your right to keep and bear arms. Now if you didn't have some of that, then I think you would open it up to a little bit easier purchase by criminals, although they still tend to get their weapons by theft or by black market sources. So I personally would support a regulation that says, okay, if you're going to buy a gun, you have to go through a background check, and maybe even you have to take a course or something that shows that you have some capability of using this thing safely. But then I want that record to be to disappear. I want you to be issued a little card that says, yeah, you met all the requirements. You can keep that with you. But nobody else should have the information, because the minute you have a national registry or a state registry, you have the mechanism required for gun confiscation.
Right. I understand that. No, I wouldn't say that. Basically, what I was trying to come to was that you have rules and regulations that some of them you follow and some don't. That was the point I'm making. I have no problem with somebody going and selling private weapons. I've done it. I sold a weapon before, and I didn't check anybody's background. The guy looked legit. He came to my ad, and I sold him a pistol a long time ago. But the question was, if you had rules and regulations on the books, why were they not enforcing that? That was my question, basically, because I don't have a problem with it at all. I was just kind of confused of why they didn't enforce their
own
regulations.
In California, even if you're buying from a private party at a gun show, you are required to go through a dealer. If you're selling a weapon, I don't think that should be the case, but it is the case here, and I think that's the case in many other states. And there's some states where there's no regulations at all. I think Vermont's a free purchase, free carry, but I don't know the exact rules there.
Right. Well, I just want to say we only got about 15 minutes left in this interview. The phone lines are open, 1-800-313-9443. If you want to call in and ask Captain Phil any kind of Second Amendment questions or gun questions, he's very knowledgeable. He knows his stuff. I always loved hearing him speak. We probably could actually go an extra hour on this topic. So, again, the lines – yeah, I think we could do that. Yeah, the lines are open.
I want to make one other point. It's a great question to ask an official an elected representative, an appointee, a sheriff, a police chief. Who are the first responders? Who are the first responders? You ask that question, and they will normally say either the police or the fire department or the EMTs. Mm-hmm. And my response is, no, that's wrong. The first responder is the intended victim. Now, notice I didn't say victim. A victim is someone who it was either too stupid or too regulated to have a weapon to fight back if he's attacked. An intended victim is someone who has the means and the mental attitude that he will fight back or she will fight back. And that's the person who's on the spot. That is the first responder. All these other people are second and third responders.
Right. No, I agree. I totally agree. You are the first responder, protecting yourself, your body. You are the first responder. Phil, are you a little bit, you know, you and I are close the same age. Are you a little bit concerned about this mollycoddled youth here? We have the snowflakes. We call them the snowflakes, the children, that they don't seem to care. Their ignorance is well known on these issues of Second Amendment and guns. Everything is a threat to them. The speech is a threat. The guns are a threat. Everything's a threat to them. They're the children behind all this this chaos right now, is tearing down our history, tearing down our statues. I'm kind of worried that this next generation coming up behind us here are the ones who are going to fold and just pretty much give it all away. Are you concerned about that at all?
Not the same as you. I do think there are some rays of hope. Young Americans for Freedom is in Washington D.C. and they're at the Reagan Ranch in California. They're training up some new generations. The Independent Institute out here in Oakland. Morton Blackwell's operation there in Virginia. It's training up new generations of young activists. So I think we're there, but we're moving in the right direction with some of the population, but it's really a small percentage compared to the people you just described.
Well, I hope so. I hope that is a small population, because they seem to scream the most and get what they want. And we're living in a time now, and I used to, James, who I used to work with, you know, James, and he used to say, these are interesting times. And I used to say, no, they're not. They're bizarre times. We're seeing things now that we never thought we would see. I mean, the idea that they'd string up, put a rope around a statue and pull it down and want this removed, want that removed, and erase your history. A Confederate flag is now deemed a racist symbol. I'm saying things that I thought I would never see. Which bathroom do you go to? What's your sexual identity? Whatever you want it to be. We are living in bizarre times. And so looking at this issue here, a Second Amendment, these children, I hope this is a small number of people we're talking about, Phil, because these are the ones that are screaming the most and getting their way.
Yeah. Well, again, all we can do is just have the conversations that might plant some seeds. For instance, I like to ask kids what's the design political system of the United States of America? And you know, about 90%+, including elected officials, will say democracy. And of course, you and I know it's a republic, right. And I explain the difference on that. Another one is how many rights does the Bill of Rights give you? The first 10 amendments to the Constitution. How many rights does it give you? And I guess, well, 10. Well, the first one's freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly. Right. You know, there's more than one right there. Well, maybe it's more. I got guesses all the way up to 100. And then I tell them, I say, well, would it interest you to know that the Bill of Rights don't give you any rights at all? None. Zip, zah, nada. The Bill of Rights ought to be more accurately described as a Bill of Restrictions. It says to the federal government, look, federal government, you might get too powerful for your britches. We don't want that to happen. And so here's a list of our pre-existing God-given rights that we're not giving up and that you have no right to diddle with. And that's a revelation for most of these snowflakes. And some of them think, oh, I didn't know that. They didn't teach me that in school.
Right.
And suddenly they start questioning. So I think it's important to have these conversations, but you have to do it in such a way that you don't alienate the person right off the get-go.
Right. I agree with you. I agree with you. Well, you know, we've seen that the school system is an indoctrination system now. And definitely you see on the college level how the liberal professors are brainwashing these kids to come out. And they're coming up with these lame excuses of why we need to get rid of this and that from their professors, no doubt about it. It's the indoctrination process of our schooling from grade school down, junior high and high schools. This is an amazing time. It is a bizarre time where you're not allowed to question, ask questions when things don't match up. This is a bizarre time we're living in, Phil. And like I said, I hope this is a small group we're talking about. I really do.
If we've got a couple of minutes here, I'd like to quote for your listeners, something I wrote to. Now, Sandy Hook, a lot of people believe was a false flag operation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have enough information to say it was or was not,
right.
but assuming that it was not, assuming it was a real tragedy,
right.
I wrote a letter to the Sandy Hook Promise parents who are actively promoting gun control.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologized actually in advance for what I was going to say. But here's what I said. The basic question is, what can we do to better protect our teachers and children? And the unfortunate and the harsh reality is, deep down, at least some of those Sandy Hook parents must surely recognize that it's you who are partly, mm-hmm. maybe largely responsible for your own children's and their teachers' deaths.
Right.
You and your political leaders who have led you to believe that the silly stupidity of a gun-free school zone will somehow protect against evil or insane people's violent, murderous acts, that's an effective thing to do. Your courageous but impotent teachers at Sandy Hook Elementary are dead because you, the Sandy Hook parents and town officials, denied them the effective means to resist evil. And because you denied them weapons, your children and their teachers lay dead or severely wounded. Did you tell your teachers, as they probably taught your kids, to use your words? All they had was words and bare hands. not very effective weapons against a violent, insane attack by a deranged psychotic killer.
Right.
What might the outcome have been had you allowed your teachers access to weapons? How many of you, how many of your kids would be alive had you not denied them the one tool that could have saved themselves and your children? Mm-hmm. These teachers tried to stand up to armed evil with only their bare hands. How dare you continue to advocate for more of the same insane victim disarmament policies in the face of overwhelming evidence that the only thing that's effective against an armed criminal is an armed citizen.
Now, Phil, did you get yourself on some kind of banned list, watch list for that one?
No doubt. Probably multiple lists.
You know, because I actually questioned the TSA one time, and I sent them a letter and asking why they cared so much about my computer with bomb residue tape and everything. But they didn't question or do any kind of testing on my iPod, my CD player, no other electronics they cared about. And I'm sure I got myself on a list because they wrote me back and said they didn't answer the question, why aren't you scanning these other items? They said, thank you very much for your concern, was all I got out of them. So I'm sure I got myself on a list. Hey, we're going to go to the phones real quick here. We've got a caller from Texas. Wayne, you're on with Captain Phil.
Yeah, hi, Steve. I'll make this quick because I know time is short. Most of these arguments about gun control, there's a lot of emotion, and I think we need to discuss facts. One thing I try to do with people is, number one, explain what genocide is. And that's when history shows government turns on its people and ends up murdering a high percentage of folks. And number two, in the 20th century, there were numerous genocides, like in Cambodia, Germany, Russia, and a few other places. Tens of millions of people were killed by the government. And the one thing they all had in common is that all these genocides were preceded by major gun control legislation. And there's a chart that outlines all this information. It's put out by the Jews for Preservation of Firearm Ownership, jpfo.org. It's easy to pull down and show people this is what happens when gun control is allowed to fester and people don't realize how important they are to keep their gun rights.
Right, right.
Couldn't agree more, and I'm glad you mentioned JPFO.
Yeah, I think it's very important. They did exhaustive work on it, and in fact, I think at one time John Stadtmiller interviewed Aaron Zellman, who was your founder, and I'm not sure he's still with us or not, but he talked about a patriotic individual that really understood what was going on. That chart, if people go to that website, they show it to
Aaron,
a lot of friends.
Aaron did die a few years ago, and JPFO moved up to Bellingham, Washington, where they're helped out by Second Amendment Foundation, Alan Gottlieb's operation. Another thing for your listeners, Steve, JPFL puts out a series of little booklets called the Grandpa Jack books. They're like little comic books. They do a wonderful job of explaining in simple terms to kids of all ages exactly what we're talking about here.
Right.
And they're very inexpensive.
Hey, thank you very much, Wayne. We got another caller here. I'm going to push on here. Rob in Illinois, you're on with Captain Phil.
Hello, fellas. I got a few things to add here. But first, he was questioning Sandy Hook. Well, according to Jim Fetzer, Oli Damagard, Wolfgang, so many different people, nobody died at Sandy Hook. And you can pick up a free PDF copy of Nobody Died at Sandy Hook from Dr. Jim Fetzer's blog. It's free download. You can check it out and listen anytime to what Jim Fetzer has to say. Second to that, these snowflakes, as we call them, and it seems so fun and funny to say, oh, there's snowflakes in this. These are a bunch of misinformed people that have been being brainwashed in the school system, and it's unfortunate. They're uninformed, they're uneducated, and they've been literally brainwashed. And I know you fellas agree with that. The last thing I want to add is that, sorry for this plane ahead. Last thing I want to add is we know that our police departments are being trained by the Israelis. They're sending the leaders of these police departments to be trained in Israeli tactics. And with that, they're being told, as we heard, the founding fathers of this country, they're George Washington, Jefferson, whatever, they consider them terrorists. So that's what they're sending them back with this aggression towards the American people. So they come back with these Israeli terror tactics that they use on the Palestinians and whoever else, and that's how they're treating us, like the enemies of the state, such as, Al Whitney likes to tell us repeatedly. Okay, all right. I'll let you guys go ahead. I'll listen.
Hey, Hey, thank you very much, Rob. I couldn't agree with you more. Yes, there have been Israeli training of our civilian police forces that has been acknowledged. And I think even RBN had a couple articles on that. Any comments on your end there, Captain Phil?
Well, I'm not so sure I would be unhappy about being trained by the Israelis. They're very competent, and they're certainly under siege. Wouldn't bother me at all. But I do think that there's been a serious indoctrination at all levels, really, from the grammar schools on up through our police departments. That I don't agree with. In fact, one talk about indoctrination and the subtlety of it. You know, right now we talk about blue states and red states, and right. and the conservatives are the red states, and the liberals are the blue states.
Right.
Some years ago, it was the reverse, and
right.
it was and
yes.
that was more accurate. You think of blue as being, you know, the Union, and red as being communist. They figured that out, and one year they just switched it. Just,
right.
You can look that up. It's documented. They just switched the colors, and it's a subtle. A psychological ploy that the mainstream media uses and the government uses to keep us under control.
I agree. Well, we're coming down to the end here. Just a couple more things real quick if we can squeeze in. I did mention to the gun store owner, the range, shooting range owner, about the bump stocks and all this, you know, these little terms they just grab onto, these accessories to our weapons. And he agreed, basically, this is nothing. This is just an excuse to move on to another level of restrictions and control of our weapons. And I agree. I agree with that. You know, I've always said when the government has a war on something or outlaws it, they just basically created a black market for that item. And restrictions in California with the magazine down to 10 now from 30. What's to stop me from going across the border to a different state, buying them and bringing them back? You haven't accomplished a damn thing. You've just opened up a black market.
Go ahead. Yeah, they have accomplished one thing. They've made an instant criminal class out of people who were previously law-abiding people.
Exactly. They have at that.
And the government can't deal with honest people. They can only deal with criminals. So by creating criminals, now they can deal with us.
Right. Which is what's going to come in handy with that that militarized police force. If we're all deemed criminals, right?
Yeah. Well,
if we're all deemed criminals, that'll come in handy.
If they get too heavy-handed, they may get some surprises.
I hope that never happens. Thank you, Captain Phil, for being on the show today. That completes our show today. Health, happiness, and safe travels. I'm back in the studio on January 7th of 2018. We will talk again.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.